Okay, I'd like to convene the Ways and Means Committee, and we're going to be operating under Rule 10.01, which is posted online. It's already been announced that we do have a quorum present. Representative Olson, would you care to move the minutes?
Mr. Chair, I move the adoption of the minutes from May 12, 2020.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. We do have four bills on the agenda this morning, and the first bill up is House File 4554 by Representative Hansen, Environmental and Natural Resources Supplemental Finance and Policy Bill. Representative Hansen, would you care to move the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I move House File 4554, first engrossment, be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, the motion is before us, and I see you have an amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 4554 is essentially...
Would you move the amendment, or...?
I would move the A10 amendment.
Okay, that motion is before us, and if you'd care to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, the A10 amendment is a beginning of a resolution of an agreement with the Senate. House File 4554 is essentially an omnibus environment finance and policy bill. It includes finance items like the lands bill and some dedicated dollars. We have seen pieces of this go through Ways and Means earlier. The dry cleaners bill we debated, discussed last week, and the LCCMR bill. This bill includes all of those provisions. The A10 amendment reflects some of the progress the House and the Senate have made in trying to resolve their differences. It deletes a CRP incentive using critical habitat money. It provides the current agreed upon language with dry cleaners. So that agreed upon language with dry cleaners provides for a PERC ban in the future, a perchlorofluorate ban, but also cost share for the dry cleaners to move off of perchlorofluorate. So the agreement that was reached with the Senate is in the A10 amendment. In addition, a proposed agreement or a proposed attempt at resolving the conflict with the LCCMR is in this bill, in this amendment. And that proposed is the Senate had $1.5 million for wastewater infrastructure, essentially for pipes, that was put into the LCCMR process without a proposal. What the House has proposed and what's in the A10 amendment is that that $1.5 million be used for demonstration research projects on wastewater facilities with renewable energy to see if wastewater energy are large energy users. If we could put in solar on wastewater facilities and demonstrate that and research that in terms of the energy cost and the environmental benefits for that, that would be a constitutional solution. So that is what's in the bill, or in the A10 amendment, and I would ask for your support.
Okay, any discussion on the A10 amendment? Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen. I have questions about the A10 amendment, but I think it would just be best if we allow the author to have the bill be in the form that he would like, and then I can save my comments for when we're on the final vote. Thank you.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, then... all those in favor of the A10 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. The A10 amendment is adopted. Representative Hansen on the bill.
Mr. Chair, members of the bill as amended, we are still in the process of negotiating with the Senate. There have been 8 offers that have gone back and forth. The bill will be smaller than what you see here, but we do need to move this through Ways and Means and get it to the floor so that if and when we come to an agreement, we would be able to process a bill. So the A10 amendment that was adopted was both progress and an attempted progress at resolving the issue. I would just say the conflict that we currently have is between not so much some of the items in the bill, but how to resolve the LCCMR, and the Senate has taken a position of a first a repeal of the authority for the clean car rulemaking. I think the latest offer was a moratorium on the clean car rulemaking. So that conflict is holding up the bill, but we needed to get moving. There have been many offers that have gone back and forth, and I'm hopeful we will be able to reach resolution.
Okay, any discussion on the bill as amended? Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Hansen, so on the House website, we have two different fiscal spreadsheets. They're corresponding labels, including the amendment. Do you have am I missing this? Is there a spreadsheet that has the cumulative general fund impact of these changes as well as the non-general fund spending? Is there one document that contains them both?
Representative Hansen or maybe Mr. Lee?
Mr. Chair, there is no general fund impact in the bill, but there are dedicated fund impacts. And with the A10 amendment, there were changes, and I think that's what you see in the two spreadsheets. Maybe Mr. Lee or Mr. Marks could respond.
Mr. Lee?
Or Mr. Hagemeyer, excuse me.
Or Mr. Hagemeyer?
Sure. Yep, Mr. Chair, Representatives. Look, Representative Hansen is correct. There are no general fund impacts on here. As you see on the screen share at the moment, this is for the Article 1 or Article 2 of the bill, I guess, Article 1 and 2 combined. These are the fiscal changes. Most of them don't even have much of a cost at all, as you can see. Under the first portion of it, this is the Environment and Natural Resources Finance HF45541E spreadsheet. As you can see under PCA, there's two appropriations. One is $400,000 of the remediation fund for the dry cleaner proposal, and there's $492,000 out of the environmental fund for the PFAS water quality standards. And then if you go down to DNR, there's just one little change in this cross-country ski account, changing it from a direct appropriation to a statutory. All the others underneath that are extensions of current appropriations. And then there's a couple of revenue changes that aren't actually appropriated. One's for the lands bill, one's for some admission fees. And then under Board of Water and Soil Resources, again, there's just one extension of a project from Outdoor Heritage Fund. It's on a new appropriation. And then the only other one would be in the Minnesota Zoological Garden has an appropriation of $350,000 out of the Natural Resources Lottery in lieu account. So there's only a couple of appropriations that aren't that are non-general fund. And then as Representative Garofalo was asking, there is another spreadsheet, and that's just how I presented these. It wasn't anyone else's choice. It's just easier because the LCCMR, Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund, projects kind of get moved around and they're tracked a little bit different, so it makes it kind of hard to combine it into one spreadsheet. But as you can see, this would be Article 3 of the bill. And you can see the last set of columns there is labeled with the author's A10 amendment. And then you can see the only changes that are made from the bill as it was to the new amendment are down a little lower on the spreadsheet. Can't see it at the moment. It'd be lines 42 and 43. There's a reduction to those two projects that the House had in the bill, and that frees up $1,095,000 under the constitutional limit. And then that is appropriated in a new subdivision 10 at the bottom of the spreadsheet that you'll see for wastewater and renewable energy demonstration grants. So that's the only change being done from the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund from the A10 amendment. But having two spreadsheets is just to make it function a little better because the appropriations are a little bit different for the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you to staff. If you could just please go back to the second. First of all, thank you very much for sharing the screen. This is very helpful in terms of seeing the data that's been reviewed. If you go back to the original tab, thank you very much. So on the language of these projects that are listed as extensions, but so they're terminating the extensions with the A10 amendment, is that correct?
Mr.
So I see like brackets and for example, when I look at like the, I see these items that have brackets around them that appear to be, are those withdraws or are those set asides? Are those cuts or set asides?
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Agam.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Garofalo, as you can see about halfway down the spreadsheet, there's a list of six of them in a row that have bracketed numbers. We just use the bracketed numbers to denote that there's a change happening. It isn't negative or positive. It's just an extension of that appropriation. The brackets just make it so Excel doesn't count those into any totals. So it's trying to acknowledge that there is something happening fiscally, but there isn't a need to count it as a new appropriation, but I didn't want to not include it on the spreadsheet. So the gotcha. Best way to do that is to just have it as a bracketed number.
Perfect. That's why we have the best nonpartisan staff in the country. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. Mr. Chairman, Representative Hansen, I wish you good luck in reaching an agreement with the Senate. I'll be voting no on your bill today, but I do understand why you're moving this bill forward. So thank you very much.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Hansen, would you care to renew your motion?
I renew my motion that House File 4554, First Engrossment as amended, be recommended to be placed on the General Register.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any further discussion? Seeing none then, the clerk will take the roll.
Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
No.
Garofalo, no. Representative Albright?
No.
Albright, no. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids, excuse. Representative Dabney?
Aye.
Dabney, aye. Representative Drazkowski?
No.
Drazkowski, no. Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton?
No.
Hamilton, no. Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertas?
No.
Hertas, no. Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha?
No.
Kreisha, no. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani?
Aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson, excused. Representative Noor?
Aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski, excused. Representative Poppy?
Aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher, excused. Representative Scott?
No.
Scott, no. Representative Torkelson?
No.
Torkelson, no. Representative Vogel?
No.
Vogel, no. Representative Wiginius?
Yes.
Wiginius, aye. 16 ayes, 9 nays.
Okay, the motion prevails and the bill is on its way to general orders. Thank you, Representative Hansen. Our next bill is House File 2604, Representative Liebling. Representative Liebling, would you care to make a motion?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that House File 2604 be recommended to be placed on the General Register. And I also move the DE1 amendment to House File 2604.
Okay, the motion is before us that 2604 be recommended to be placed on the General Register. And we also now have the motion that the DE1 amendment is before us. And if you'd care to explain the DE1 amendment, Representative?
Right. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, the underlying bill is just a vehicle bill. So if we could adopt the amendment, I think then it would be, we would have the bill in shape for me to explain what it is.
Yeah, and that's the motion that's before us. So
yes.
the DE1 amendment. Okay, is there any further discussion on the DE1 amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carried. Representative Liebling.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So the bill that is now before you, if you recall, last session we passed House File 90, which was to license assisted living facilities for the first time in Minnesota. And this was a very hard-fought, big compromise bill. We are now the only state that does not license these facilities. So this was a very important piece of legislation. Well, in the meantime, we have had something happen, which is called the COVID-19 pandemic. And the Department of Health, we know, it's kind of the little engine that could of agencies. It's a very small agency that does a lot of extremely important tasks. And one of those very important tasks is going to be doing this licensing of assisted living. And there's a lot involved with doing this. It's an industry with lots of different participants in it, and it's a heavy lift to get this done. Well, the department is now asking us to delay this licensure because they simply don't have the bandwidth to get it done on time. And this is not something that anyone wants. The department doesn't want to have to do this. Certainly the advocates who worked so hard to get this bill passed are not happy that we're asking for this delay, but the bill before you not only delays the implementation for a year or the final implementation, but also contains, it's a very involved piece of legislation because in the meantime, it also enacts some consumer protections that are part of the overall bill. So, in fact, this legislation was carried by Representative Schultz. I hope that she's on the call. She would be better to take questions than I would because this is now my bill just because the vehicle was my vehicle that's in this committee to be able to move this forward quickly. But this is really a request of the Department of Health. And I also have, I had seen Ms. Dotseth on the call here. I know they have to be off the call pretty quickly. But there are folks on the call here who can answer questions. I can take a stab at it, but I wasn't the principal author of the bill. And anyway, Mr. Chair, with that, I think we can take questions.
Okay, any discussion? Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you, Representative Liebling, for that candid explanation of the bill. I've received emails on this bill that are saying contradictory items. I don't want to hold up passage of the bill today, but I will say that I think reasonable members can have differences of opinion on how to vote on this bill. I'll be voting no today, primarily because I don't have a full understanding of what the bill does, but I understand the issues that are trying to be addressed in this. So I'll be voting no, but I expect that there'll be a diversity of opinion among other members. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further discussion? I'll see none. Representative Liebling, would you care to renew your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I renew my motion that House File 2604 as amended be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Representative or Ms. Markman, would you take the roll?
Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
No.
Garofalo, no. Representative Albright?
No.
Albright, no. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids, excused. Representative Dabney?
Aye.
Dabney, aye. Representative Drazkowski?
No.
Drazkowski, no. Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton?
Aye.
Hamilton, aye. Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertaus?
Hertaus, aye.
Hertaus, aye. Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreshia?
No.
Kreshia, no. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani?
Aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson, excused. Representative Noor?
Aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy?
Aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher, excused. Representative Scott?
No.
Scott, no. Representative Torkelson?
No.
Torkelson, no. Representative Vogel?
No.
Vogel, no. Representative Wagenius?
Yes.
Wagenius, aye. 19 ayes, 7 nays.
Okay, the motion prevails, and the bill is on its way to the general registers. Thank you, Register. Thank you, Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We'll now go to House File 3156 by Representative Mariani. Representative Mariani, would you care to make a motion?
Mr. Chair, members, yes. I would move House File 3156, the first engrossment, be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, the motion is be for us, and you do have a couple of amendments. Representative Mariani, you want to take the First Amendment now?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would move the A13 Amendment. And then this is probably a good time just to do a very quick context. I'm getting the message that we don't, that I should be moving quick. So let me just say very quickly that this bill that will be constructed with these amendments, it really reflects some of the best work that our Public Safety Committee and Criminal Justice Reform Committee did this year to maintain both strong public safety inside our prisons, outside among the public, while doing our best to save lives during the pandemic and still forward with some good ideas. So what we did, Mr. Chair, members, is we sent three bills to Ways and Means. This one, 3156, which is our COVID response bill, and the major feature in that is early release, temporary extended authority for our corrections commissioner, as well as a series of policy provisions that we're mostly taking out with this amendment, because we do have agreement with the Senate on the purely policy issues, and hopefully we'll be taking that up on the floor in the next day or two. And then the third bill that we sent forward involved the governor's deficiency funding request. So with the amendments, with these next three amendments, what we're going to do then is we're going to keep the COVID response provisions. We're going to have some, not all, of the department deficiency requests. We're going to add addressing, along with the costs, the sexual assault examination kits. And then we're also going to fund some, but not all, of the Department of Public Safety's probation supplemental requests. So with that, Mr. Chair, the A13 amendment is the one that then strips out the policy provisions that we don't need in the current bill. It then amends in the Department of Corrections deficiency requests. It also adds the testing and storage of the Department of Public Safety Bureau of Criminal Apprehension sexual assault examination kits, and then it strikes, as I said, a couple of provisions, including some that, frankly, are pretty painful for me. But nonetheless, we're trying to move forward in this environment in a way that we can best try to get to agreement, pretty quickly. And Mr. Chair, just like the previous bills, in the end, assuming Ways and Means affirms, the idea here is to forward onto, along into the process, a good framework and structure so that when we come to agreement, we can then, we have a bill that we can process agreement with. So, Mr. Chair, that explains the A13 amendment. I do have an amendment to the amendment, which basically fixes some minor errors in the A13 amendment. And I think I should probably move that at this point.
Yeah, you've moved the A13 amendment, and I assume your next motion will be then to move the A14 amendment.
Mr. Chair, I would move the A14 amendment. And as I said, this cleans some of the language in the A13 amendment, particularly around the sexual assault kits issue. It also does an appropriation once we got the note in to cover the cost for early release. It's a small note, but it needs to be covered. And then it adds the Department of Public Safety supplemental budget request for lab costs for violent crime examinations, as well as the corrections request for appropriations for county probation costs. And members, this is really pretty important because as we're moving, and we have been moving into a release, responsibly releasing those we can release from prison, they need to land somewhere, and they're landing out in the counties. It's a big deal for sure in greater Minnesota where resources are pretty scarce. And so this is going to provide funding for those probation, local probation county-based systems. We also add a task force to review those who are incarcerated under aiding and abetting status. Those individuals generated huge costs over time to corrections. So members, that's the A14 amendment.
Okay, the A14 amendment is before us. Any discussion, Representative Scott?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Chair and Representative Mariani, what's the total cost of your bill?
Mr. Chair, I would defer to our fiscal analyst because I don't want to get the number wrong.
Okay, thanks.
Mr. Chair, John Walls from House Fiscal Staff.
Mr. Walls, if you could go over the total cost.
Sure. Mr. Chair, the bill has a net spending impact of $22.4 million in this biennium and $45.7 million in tails.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir, I represent.
Okay, I couldn't tell if I was muted still or not, or unmuted. So that is huge. That's 22.4 in this biennium and 40 plus in the next biennium. Representative Mariani, how will we be paying for this?
Mr. Chair and members, as I said earlier, the idea here is because there are no targets right now, and we don't want to not address this issue. State contracts are connected to this issue. The Department of Correction is really the largest chunk of that cost. They're the third largest state agency in the state. They have 4,300 Minnesotans who work at that agency. So the idea here, members, the appropriations for these contracts have, and I don't know what the history is behind this, but has been for a while done in the off year as opposed to the major budget year. I would prefer that we were doing this in our major budget year, but this is the history that we inherited. And so, again, the idea is to move this forward so that when we get to the point where there is an agreement on the overall budget, this issue can then be on the table.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Representative Mariani, you really didn't tell me how we're going to pay for this. Are there any federal funds involved here? Is any of this COVID-related? And if so, what portion? And if we don't get the federal funds for that, because it seems like the Democrats are relying heavily on all these federal funds for different things, and we can't possibly get that much money from the federal government for everything that's being asked or potentially relied upon them. So, if Representative Mariani could say what portion of this will be paid for by federal funds and what would come out of the general fund. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, members, that's a fair question. And And of course, the federal funds are made available precisely for states to be able to use. We're a little bit challenged, quite frankly, in public safety and corrections, at least so far with federal appropriations. And so we're still doing the analysis in terms of what might be eligible under the current stream. My hope is that our probationary costs, because those are connected with early release from prisons, which are being fueled precisely for the COVID. But certainly in all transparency, I would say the bulk of this is not going to be covered by federal funds. We would be, and so these are going to be general fund allocations. We would be doing this as part of our regular cycle in terms of honoring those state contract agreements. And again, Mr. Chair and Representative Scott, that decision has not yet been made. The point here is to move this along so that as we near the end, and we are nearing the end, and numbers become apparent and the three parties are negotiating out that this be part of the consideration.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just some final comments here. We don't have any money. And I do know, you know, the part of this bill that that I would, you know, that I think is really important to pass has to do with the rape kits. And my understanding from Representative O'Neill is that she's even questioning the fiscal note on that. And she voted against this bill and she's worked tirelessly on that issue. So I just don't think that this is something that we can afford to do. And while I appreciate Representative Mariani's sincere work on this, and I know that he believes in what he has here for a bill, I can't support this because it's spending $22 million in this biennium and plus 40 going into the next. And so I would encourage a no vote. Thank you for the questioning.
Mr. Chair, just very quickly, and I do appreciate what Representative Scott is wrestling with. We're all wrestling with that issue. We're talking about public safety here. As Representative Scott pointed to, you know, with the sexual assault kits, unfortunately, folks continue to be sexually violated in this state. And currently, with the total mishandling of these kits, we're basically letting violators get off the hook for doing that. So public safety is always going to be, whether you're in the middle of a pandemic or not, is always going to be a key core function of government. And again, as the three bodies negotiate out, I'm certain that they're going to keep that at the center of those conversations.
Representative Mariani, when we talk about the total amount, you and I have had a conversation, you might want to point out the tie with the funding for the lab and the rape kits.
Mr. Chair, it's the same lab and members. It's the BCA lab. And the other part of their request, so they've got the rape kit examination, storage, and tracking expenses. But the other part of that lab work is violent crimes, examination for violent crimes. And so there's a strong overlap between both of those. That BCA lab, quite frankly, has been overwhelmed even prior to COVID, even prior to this issue of centralizing the sexual assault kits. And that's having a profound impact in terms of backlogging our judiciary system, its ability to properly prosecute these cases. So there is a strong overlap between both of those lab requests on the part of BCA through the Department of Public Safety.
Okay, Representative Kreshaw.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Mariani, obviously respect your work and your knowledge in this area. The issue I have here, a couple of things, the comment being made that we would have done this anyway, while I respect that, anyway doesn't exist anymore. And so I want to call that to question. The other thing is the conversation we're having here with a number that frankly is uncertain. This is the conversation that normally happens in a finance committee, even when we put the dot, dot, dots in, when we really don't know. The challenge for me here is we are the Ways and Means Committee. This is where we put self-imposed restrictions on ourselves and make sure that we have some attention paid to the boundaries of what we can and can't afford. The argument I'm hearing today, which is let's just move this forward to have a conversation that's going to happen at another point in time. As I said, those are the conversations we typically hear in a finance committee. Then this comes to a Ways and Means where we have targets. That world doesn't exist. And at this point, I believe it puts us in a position of not knowing how to prioritize. For example, what you have here shouldn't be up against and wrestling with broadband, which we've already passed out of here. Or in other times, we would have had a bill that maybe would have had supplemental educational considerations there. But because we have no targets, because we have no way of anchoring into any budgets or priorities, you're up against a nebulous number. You're up against hoping for a negotiation. And I don't think we're putting you in a position, and I don't think the Ways and Means Committee is doing their jobs by not having those targets, those boundaries. And especially in a time when anyway doesn't exist anymore and the world is upside down, we're really going to need to have some self-imposed restrictions so we know how to properly prioritize, because frankly, the issues you're bringing here are way up online for some of the things we've already passed. And for that, I just have to vote no, and I'm going to try to give you that no as some support when you go in your next considerations to try to fight your way up against.
Representative Albright. Somehow Representative Crenshaw was just sort of cut there. I assume he was done.
I'm sorry, I dropped the mute button off.
Were you done?
I was. Thank you, Mr. Chair. More of a statement than a question.
Okay, Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Mariani, in some of your comments, you mentioned as the numbers become apparent. What does that mean?
Representative Mariani.
Mr. Chair and Representative Albright, in many ways, I can't answer that question totally. We don't have a target. It's just the reality. What we've done in our committee, quite frankly, was to, and in this bill, is to identify what the minimum is that we need to do to keep our state safe. And so we pared back, with these amendments, requests, from the two departments. We're attempting to meet a need where there's incredible bipartisan support around these sexual assault kits, because a pandemic should not mean that a rapist gets away with raping folks. I think everyone can agree on that. And so what you have before you, I would submit, is really the minimum that we need to do to keep our state safe. And there's never not a time in which to keep our state safe. As we move this bill forward, as we've done with some others as well, we're keeping that very important issue on the table so that as the governor, as the Senate, and as the House negotiate out in the final stages here, what the combination of expenditures and revenues and priorities are going to be, this is going to be on the table. As it well should be, because we're talking about a core function of government, which is to keep our public safe.
Okay.
Representative Mariani, I just have one follow-up then. But Representative Mariani, you made clear that we don't have budget targets. There are no budget targets. There will be no budget targets. We are running a deficit. And to suggest that there should be additional money spent on public safety when you already have a budget that lays out exactly what your priorities are, I don't understand why then you are asking for a task force for felony murder. that's taken up by any number of other agencies that are looking at that right now. So, Mr. Chair, this is a bill that is going nowhere, and I think that we should be looking and focusing on the damage that can be prevented by austerity measures and preparing the state for how we open up the state of Minnesota rather than spend money that we don't have. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Garofalo, are your comments going to be geared toward the wrap-up of the bill, or were you wanting to comment on the amendment that's before us?
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to clarify that we were still on adoption of the amendment, not final passage. And
that's what I'm going to point out. Yeah, we've got the amendment before us. Any further discussion on the amendment to the amendment? Seeing none, or Representative Hornstein on the amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair, just very quickly. I know that I got excited when I saw the original agenda for this bill, which included House File 3156, which had a provision around driver's license suspension and reinstatement. And this is a bipartisan initiative that, and of course that's not in the bill now, given the amendment, but I did want to thank Representative Mariani for his efforts on that. This bill has been floating around for 3 years. It has bipartisan support. And I hope that, next year, we'll be able to pass this bill. It's really, really important for a lot of people. It's good criminal justice and public safety policy, and it's very good transportation policy as well. So I just wanted to thank Representative Mariani and hope that we can, again, on a bipartisan basis, continue work on that moving forward.
Thank you. And there are some members of the committee that won't be with you next year, but others will be. So hopefully they'll remember your comments. We have the A14 amendment then before us. Any further discussion on the amendment? Hearing none then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carried. Representative Mariani, you have another amendment?
Mr. Chair, we have the A15 amendment. This is similar language. We cribbed it from prior bills, which really encourages Commissioner of Management and Budget to apply federal funds where appropriate. That could be available relative to any of these appropriations.
And we've adopted this before, and I'll just comment that we're continually working on what we can apply federal funds to and what we cannot do. That's a continuing project, if you will. We have general information, and we're working to finalize some of that in the days ahead as to what may qualify for federal funds and what will not. So this language we've adopted before, and so the idea is to look. Representative Scott.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Chair, you cut out there for a while. I'm sorry about that. I just wanted to bring to your attention, Mr. Chair, that when we took the vote on the amendments just now, that you only asked for A's and not nays, so we didn't have an opportunity to weigh in on that.
I thought I asked for nays, but I stand corrected. If I did not, we'll vote again. I'll put the A14 amendment. Well, first of all, we have to withdraw the A15 amendment. I withdraw that amendment on behalf of Representative Mariani. The A14 amendment is before us. I'll move the A14 amendment and we'll go to a vote. I thought I called for the nays, but just in case, any discussion on the A14 amendment? Representative Scott, your hand is up. Do you want to discuss the A14 again or just go to the vote?
No, just go to the vote. I thought you lowered my hand.
Up, that's why I was going to recognize you. Okay, the A14 amendment. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Nay.
Motion carried. With that, now, Representative Mariani, you withdrew your A15 amendment, and now you're going to move it again.
Sure.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion on the A15 amendment? I think everybody understands what it's doing. Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the A15 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
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 Care. With a delayed few no votes, okay. Representative Mariani, on the bill, I think on the amendment, we allowed a certain amount of latitude, so I think we've pretty well discussed the bill, but is there any further discussion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I just want to make sure, did we adopt the A13 amendment?
No.
Oh, no, we have to adopt the A13 amendment. That's right, because we were dealing with amendments to the A13 amendment. You're correct. So, Representative Mariani, you want to redo your motion on the A13?
Mr. Chair, members, I would move the A13 amendment as amended.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? That kind of threw me a curve when we went reverted back to make sure we got the no votes recorded. See no further discussion. All those in favor of the A13 amendment as amended signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? No.
No.
No. Motion carried. Representative Mariani, now on the bill, we've pretty well discussed the contents of it, but if there's any further discussion or if you have any further comments, Representative Mariani.
Mr. Chair, if there are no further comments, I would encourage members to support the bill as amended. You know, quite frankly, members, I didn't come up with these numbers for public safety by myself. The professionals in our state came up with them. We pared them back as responsibly as possible in the amendments that we just adopted here. What the professionals are telling us is that the public is not going to be safe unless we do this. And I think every member of this committee and this legislature absolutely wants to do the right thing to make sure that the public is safe, that we run strong law enforcement while also protecting our peace officers, that we run safe prisons that protect the lives as best as we can of the guards who come home every day after being in a densely populated facility. That we're treating our residents or inmates there with humanity and not sentencing them to a life sentence for lack of good public health protocols, that we tell violators of sexual violators of people in this state that you will not get away with violating the dignity and the personhood of every person in this state because we lack the ability to properly put together the evidence to convict you. This is a core function of government, members, and in any period of time, we should never wave away that core function or the ability to protect and not wave away the ability to protect our citizens and our residents of the state of Minnesota. So members, I appreciate your support.
And Representative Mariani, would you care to renew your motion, and then I'll call on Representative Garofalo for his concluding amount of comments. So if you could renew your motion.
Mr. Chair, I move that House File 3156 as amended be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, that motion is before us. Representative Garofalo, for your concluding comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Chairman Mariani. Chairman Mariani, you made some comments that I do agree with, and that is that public safety is a core function of government. and there's no doubt about that. And members should be aware of the challenge that we are facing in the days, weeks, months ahead, and likely years. And that is that we are going to need to fund critical functions of government while at the same time, paring down other functions of government that are non-critical. Now, this is neither easy nor simple, but it's the job we have to do. Now, my criticism today is not of some of the items that are being funded in this bill. In fact, Representative Mariani is right. There are critical items that are being funded in this bill. But Mr. Chairman, what bothers me is that this majority is desperately lacking in fiscal discipline. There's a menu of options available to the DFL in terms of how to pay for these items. But time and time again, we're seeing series after series of bills which don't present difficult choices or positive choices. They just ignore the choices altogether by just spending money that we don't have with no plan on how to deal with it. And so we have a challenging budget situation as it is. There's no doubt about it. And the decisions are going to be uncomfortable. I want to pledge to you and to members who are listening, I understand that in previous times, minority parties simply throw rocks and oppose the solutions that are put in place. I believe this year is different. I believe this year that we have a greater responsibility to help you guys out and pay for things. And by paying for things, that's going to mean reducing spending on items that candidly, a lot of DFLers don't want to do. But as we go forward, we have to stop this fiscal irresponsibility. As everyone knows, we can't deficit spend. We're not the federal government. We can't print money. We can't borrow money to balance our budget. What we do have to do is cut spending and prioritize spending in those areas that are critical functions of government. That's the pathway forward. And again, we are desperately lacking in any fiscal discipline from this DFL majority. And at some point, this math is going to catch you. Draining down the budget reserves to zero and kicking the can past the next election is something that has been done in the past by both parties. We can't do it this year. We have to behave differently. Representative Mariani, you have the best of intentions, but you got to pay for this stuff. And I'm going to be voting no on your bill today. Thank you.
Before we vote, I just want to comment. We're dealing with a public safety bill here. And my intent as chair of Ways and Means is to create a position as we move forward. I think everybody knows that there are negotiations going on between the House and the Senate. Representative Garofalo, you know that you and I and others have had conversations as we move forward as well. So I don't think we're totally devoid of understanding that we have some tough choices down the road. But my intent with this bill as chair of Ways and Means is to create a position to make sure that public safety is on the table when we're talking about the big picture and how we ultimately balance the budget. So I do want to have members keeping that in mind, this is a vitally important bill. And I want to make sure it's part of the final negotiations, whatever the final outcome happens to be. With that, Ms. Parkman, would you take the roll?
Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
No.
Garofalo, no. Representative Albright?
No.
Albright, no. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids, excused. Representative Dabney?
Aye.
Dabney, aye. Representative Driskowski?
No.
Driskowski, no. Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton?
No.
Hamilton, no. Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertas?
No.
Hertas, no. Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha?
No.
Kreisha, no. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani?
Aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson, excused. Representative Noor?
Aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy?
Aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, no.
Schumacher, no. Representative Scott?
No.
Scott, no. Representative Torkelson?
No.
Torkelson, no. Representative Vogel?
No.
Vogel, no. Representative Wagenius?
Yes.
Wagenius, aye. 17 ayes, 10 nays.
Okay, the motion prevails and the bill is on its way to the general register. Thank you, Representative Mariani. We now have House File 3326, Representative Hausman dealing with housing infrastructure bonds. Representative Hausman, would you care to make a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move House File 3326, second engrossment, be recommended to be placed on the general register.
The motion is before us. Any discussion on the bill?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, this is a vehicle. This is the time of the session when we park vehicles various places. There is still a plan for a comprehensive bonding bill that would include both general obligation bonds for public housing and housing infrastructure bonds. You may recall in the special session last year that after we failed to pass a larger bonding bill, that I brought forth a bill just for housing infrastructure bonds. And so we are preparing for Plan B. This is part of the Homes for All agenda. The Homes for All Coalition is just an amazing group of people all over the state, well over 200 groups that have organized in the coalition. This year, they brought forth an agenda for bonding that called for $100 million for general obligation bonding. General obligation bonding can only be used for public housing. For years, all we did was $5 million a year or less, if at all. And recently, one of the advocacy groups, statewide advocacy groups, has brought forward the number that we now have an immediate need for $355 million in backlog of maintenance on public housing. The other part is $400 million, and that is a relatively new tool, housing infrastructure bonds. I think the year was 2012 when the department came to me and said if we could use this type of tool, it would allow us to partner with private and nonprofit groups, among them, for example, Lutheran Social Service, Catholic Charities, Common Bond, Beacon, Aon, groups that do amazing work in solving the problem of housing and homelessness. The advantage of that partnership is for every dollar of state money, we leverage $3 roughly of private money. And so it's a tool that has allowed us to, in that partnership with the private sector, to leverage quite a bit of money. The good news is housing has become bipartisan. The bad news is that's because it's a problem everywhere. Everyone understands that nothing else in life goes well if you don't have a safe place to sleep at night. And so it's become a shared goal, I think. So for now, Mr. Chair, it's simply a vehicle that we are moving to prepare for a Plan B.
Okay, any discussion? Representative Groffler. Are you concluding comments, or should we ask if anybody else has any questions first?
Yep, I can wait, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Okay, is there any Representative Mariani?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Chair Hausman. First of all, I want to thank you for all your work in housing, not just this year, but over time, or even prior to you being chair. I think this is really important work that you're shaping up, and there is broad and bipartisan support for this, so it gives me hope. My only quick observation is that I hope that at some point we also address the home ownership issues. You know, one of my fears, members, is that, you know, with the economic stress being caused by the pandemic, that we may well run a risk of having a huge upsurge in people losing their homes that they currently own. And I think it's important for us to get out ahead of that issue. And so I look forward to, you know, finding ways to address that. But Representative Houseman, thank you for this bill and thank you for your work.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Mariani, we had an occasion to pass another bill on the House floor dealing somewhat with what you're talking about. Had the $100 million for housing assistance. That would be for both renters and mortgage. And it was part of that economic security package that we brought forward. But there's so much work to do. The problem is so great.
Okay, Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think by now I largely want to echo Representative Mariani's comments. One piece that he didn't quite lift up was the impact of the last recession on the racial gap in home ownership in Minnesota, where we saw neighborhoods that, for instance, in North Minneapolis, where communities of color had been establishing home ownership, stabilizing those neighborhoods and strengthening them, but had been pushed into predatory mortgages by the banking system and the non-bank players in the mortgage market. And when that market collapsed, those neighborhoods lost the stability, those individuals and families lost their homes. That meant they lost an asset that can be two generation in its impact. When you look at the number of families who take out loans against the equity in their home to be able to support a child going on to college. There was a great deal of devastation in lower income communities who'd been stabilizing themselves. And Minnesota has a large gap in homeowners, large disparities between the races. My concern is that we will see that same gap expand again through this recession. And any action that we can take to blunt that is the sort of action we should be taking and is a very worthwhile investment of state revenues to make sure that all Minnesotans have access to economic stability and opportunity. So Representative Houseman, thank you for this. Thank you for the work you've been doing here on housing. It's critical to the well-being of the state. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. Renew your motion and then I'll revert to Representative Garofalo for his closing this minority lead. Representative Houseman.
I renew my motion that House File 3326, the second engrossment, be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, the motion is before us. Representative Garofalo.
Because as you stated in your comments, this is a vehicle bill. However, I've never seen a vehicle bill drive off a cliff before. So that's what we have before us today. Mr. Chairman, I understand the normal protocol and processes that we follow at the end of a regular session. Majority party, minority party, there's negotiations where a tremendous amount of work gets done at the end of session. However, in the case before us today, we have a stated vehicle bill for a bonding bill. And House Republicans have been very consistent about the fact that the emergency powers the governor is currently executing were meant to be temporary. They were necessary, but they were temporary. And now we are receiving word that the governor is apparently going to announce is another extension of his emergency powers, where he alone gets to decide things outside of the normal process of lawmaking. And we've been very upfront with people that absent a termination of those emergency powers, we will not be supporting a capital investment bill. Our opportunity to shape legislation is diminished by our numbers, but we have been very upfront with that. And so in seeing this bill, this vehicle moving forward today, it confuses me because it tells me that there's one of three things. Either one, the governor's not going to extend his emergency powers tonight. or two, the DFL majority doesn't believe us in what we're saying, or three, you're just ignoring us, and you're ignoring what we're saying, thinking that this is somehow that we're not relevant to the process. All of us have election certificates, Mr. Chairman, all of us. And in crafting a solution to get through these very difficult times, we're going to have to work together. And I don't understand how, whether it's fiscally or in a process standpoint, how the DFL ignoring reality is going to advance us any further. With the extension of the governor's emergency powers tonight, assuming he does that, there's not going to be a capital investment bill in this regular session. It'll have to be done in a special session. So I continue to be confused by the actions of the majority party. But again, on behalf of all Republicans, I remain committed to working with you guys in these very difficult times. Thank you. I'll be voting no.
Mr. Chair.
Question, Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I realize that Representative Garofalo is giving his speech as the Republican lead on the committee, but now he's done this a couple times, and I think it's important to be able to respond to some of what he's saying. So on a previous bill, he commented that this minority is not just saying no, they want to have a different role. And that is in stark contrast to what he just reminded us of. And I was actually going to remind the committee of that. This Republican minority basically threatening that they will not cooperate with the bonding bill, that they'll essentially prevent the state from having a bonding bill that the state desperately needs because they don't like the actions of the governor. That is essentially abdicating what Representative Garofalo claimed that they're doing, which is that they want to be constructive and be a part of this all. You know, I heard another member talk before about their plan. Their plan is austerity. I mean, I haven't heard from the Republican minority anything constructive about that they want to do. Their plan seems to vote no to everything because anything that spends a dollar is somehow destructive of the state. And that just plain isn't true. For one thing, it avoids the economic reality that every time we hear from the state economist, we hear again, which is that spending by consumers is what drives the economy. Spending by consumers. If we want to see how well austerity works, we just have to go back to the Great Depression and what happened with Herbert Hoover. That seems to be where this Republican minority wants to take us again. So I think we can do a lot of very good bipartisan work. I often feel that the perspectives brought forward by the Republican minority are very important and really are informative. But just saying no, no, no is not a strategy. And I think that we are relevant as a legislature. And when we do our work, which we're doing now, we are relevant as a legislature, but just saying no, no, no is not a plan and is not being a constructive minority. So I will end my speech, Mr. Chair, and thank you for giving me the time.
Okay, any further discussion? I'll just point out that, this debate has taken place on the House floor in terms of the governor's authority, but I think we all have to remember that the governor is operating under the law, and that was a law that was passed by the legislature giving any governor certain authority in an emergency situation, and that's the power that he's exercising. So with that, Representative Prichon.
Mr. Chair, I will just say, Mr. Chair, that bipartisan discussion does continue. Just last evening, we were in discussion with senators over specifically the issues of funding for housing. So those conversations do continue.
Very good. And Representative Prichon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And with all due respect, I would just add quickly, there has been lots of alternative proposals that have been ignored or thrown by the wayside and then brought up later to the House floor as a certain party was voting one way or the other. We can stop casting aspersions. We can stop categorizing each other. We all are trying to get to a certain place. There has been lots of alternatives that has been offered in committees to many of the people on this committee and across the ways. So let's please not go into that and jump on that pedestal, because I think we all know each other behind the scenes enough to know we're actually trying to get to the betterment of the state. I'll leave it at that, Mr. Chair.
Very good, Representative Krishan. I'm just going to remind members that we have a housing bill before us, and I think we're going quite a bit astray from what the intent of this particular bill is. So with that, any further discussion? Representative Hausman has already renewed her motion. So Ms. Sparkman, would you take the roll?
Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
No.
Garofalo, no. Representative Albright?
No.
Albright, no. Representative Bernardi? Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids, excused. Representative Dabney?
Aye.
Dabney, aye. Representative Drazkowski?
No.
Drazkowski, no. Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton?
No.
Hamilton, no. Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertas?
Hertas votes no.
Hertas, no. Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Krisha?
No.
Krisha, no. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani?
Yes.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson, excused. Representative Noor?
Aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy?
Aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, no.
Schumacher, no. Representative Scott? No. Scott, no. Representative Torkelson?
No.
Torkelson, no. Representative Vogel?
No.
Vogel, no. Representative Wagenius?
Yes.
Wagenius, aye. 17 ayes, 10 nays.
Okay, the motion prevails, and the bill, House File 3326, is on its way to the general orders. Thank you, Representative Hausman.
Thank you, members.
And thank you to the committee. We had a pretty good discussion this morning. Let me just put it that way. We will get back together tomorrow morning at 9:30. And so with that, meeting adjourned.